We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And joining us right now, my good buddy, the great, does a tremendous job. He does the play-by-play, Spanish play-by-play for all the Yankee games, and that is Ricky Ricardo. Hello, Ricky. How are you, bro?
Joseph, 94 today at Champions Gate.
Nice.
Not bad. I had a couple of good birds.
94, not bad. I actually played, you know what, that's funny. I played 9 holes today this morning at my club up here in Jersey that I play at, and I shot a 47, so there you go. So we had the same round today.
We had the same round. There you go, baby.
How about that, Rick? There we go.
Yeah, I love it.
There you go. How you doing, man? How's now, you're still down in Florida, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting ready to go back. Probably after the 4th of July weekend, we'll get ready to go. I mean, you know, these guys aren't going to report to camp officially anyway. I don't even know what kind of access we're going to have to that.
Well, camp is going to be at Yankee Stadium, though, right? It's not going to be in Florida,
July
3rd, right?
I think I read July 3rd. They'll get together for first workouts. But like I said, I'm not sure we're going to have much access to the players anyway, but I'll be back sometime after 4th of July weekend and get prepared for the season.
Now let me ask you this question, and I want to get into, you know, how confident you are that we're actually going to get not only the baseball but all the sports pulled off, but how are they going to handle you doing the radio play-by-play? Will you actually be in the ballparks doing this? Are you aware? Have they told you how this is going to work yet?
Well, about a month ago, the Yankees reached out and asked me if I was willing to do one of three things. If I was willing to actually go to the stadium, which I said yes. That's open air. It's there's a little bit more room at Yankee Stadium. You've been in my booth. You broadcast from my booth.
Right.
There's a little bit more room there than it is in one of the production studios, let's say at 345 Hudson. We're really cramped in there. So I was asked whether I would do them at the stadium, at a studio, or if we were still in Tampa, because this was about a month ago when they reached out. They thought maybe they'd be playing, you know, some games at Steinbrenner Field, or at least training at Steinbrenner Field, if I was comfortable working out of there. And I said, look, I'll work anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've got no issue with it. But the last thing I have heard is that the radio and TV crews will be at the stadium, but that nobody will travel. So, you'll only have the home team broadcasters at the locale, and everyone else will be at a studio in different markets. That's the latest as of about 24 hours ago.
So all the road games you will not be doing from the road. You will not be at the ballpark.
There'll be no travel this year for radio. Anyway, I'm not sure about the television guys. I don't think that the Yankee charter is going to allow anybody other than just players and staff. So, you know, if the TV guys are going to travel, which I doubt, they're going to have to move around on their own. That's what I was told. I spoke to Bob Carpenter, the TV voice of the Washington Nationals, because I order his scorebook. I use his scorebook every year. So I spoke to him last night, and that's what he said. They'll be doing every Nationals game from Nationals Park. So the home games, you'll be there. And when they go on the road, they're going to stay right there in the booth. They'll just bring in some monitors and pipe in the sound, and they'll do them from there. So it looks like that's going to be the way that most people go about it. Road games from either the stadium, if the stadium allows it, or from a studio, let's say at one of the regional sports networks.
Interesting. All right, now what's your take on the 60-game season? Give me your feel on this season, some of the rules that they're going to be using here. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, some of the rules don't thrill me, but, you know, like I've heard you guys discuss, and I agree with you, This is an outlier. It's a 60-game sprint to the finish. You know, hopefully, God willing, we'd never have to deal with these kind of circumstances again. I'm still disgusted. Honestly, I'm still disgusted from the 3-4 weeks of the back and forth between the owners and the players.
Right.
And to know that this basically got crammed down their throat. Nobody came to an agreement.
Right, of course.
This is just a mandate from the commissioner. You know, whether they can work something out between now and the 23rd to expand the playoffs, which I think would be, you know, advantageous to both sides, we'll see. I don't know if these guys can agree on what time of day it is or what day of the week it is. But, you know, 60 games, it is what it is. Everybody's starting, on equal footing, so I can't complain there. I'd be bothered if there were markets that allowed fans and other markets that didn't allow fans. Now, from what I'm hearing, you know, Texas was open as of about a month ago, but they pulled back. They closed bars. Even here in Florida today, as of a couple of hours ago, the governor said no more alcohol. He said no more serving alcohol in bars. So does that mean the bar is closed and, or you can go to the bar and have a seltzer? I don't know.
Well, why would you go to a bar if you can't have alcohol? I mean, I don't
care. You can't have alcohol. So it looks like that they're you know, pulling back some of the opening, you know, rules that they had here of a couple of weeks ago, because there was almost 9,000 cases. They set a record today here. 8,942 cases, I believe, overnight here in the state of Florida, which is just an astronomical number. So they're starting to peel back some of the openings that we had here a few weeks ago. And I dare say, I hope not, I hope I'm wrong, but places where they've moved into phase two and phase three with bars reopening, even in the Northeast, I think you can expect a spike everywhere. So to answer your question about do we get to July 23rd, we shall see. I'm not 100% sold on everything going off on time. Baseball, I think, has the best chance, Joe, of getting off on time. It's an outdoor sport. There's built-in social distancing in the game itself. But the one that I'm really worried about, although they seem like they want to bulldoze everything through, is the National Football League. And obviously, you know, we're working with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right, right.
I'm looking forward to another season. And as a Jet fan, as you know, and I'm still disgusted by the whole Adams thing, that's another conversation.
Well, that's another story, right?
Yeah,
of course.
But I'm more confident that baseball will get off on time. They'll try it here in the bubble, just a few miles away from me, at the Disney Complex with the NBA and the NHL. You know, still hasn't announced what their two hub cities are going to be. You know, I think they'll be able to get away with it for a certain amount of time, but you know, the more cases we see and the more areas that have a resurgence of the virus, the more difficult it's going to be to maintain, even a 60-game season.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about it. And we're talking to the great Ricky Ricardo. What's your thoughts? I want to get back, though, to the games, mm-hmm. and let's look at it optimistically for a second that it's going to happen. You like this idea with the extra innings? The runner starts at second base?
You know, this year I'll take it. I've seen it done, and I've heard of it being done in some independent leagues and other places. Aaron Boone's opinion of it was he's okay with it, so I'm going to be open minded about it. If it speeds up getting us out of a ballpark earlier, and who knows what time these games are we mandated to play 7 o'clock games?
Even though
a lot of people are what is prime time anymore?
Right.
So if you're worried about if the rules in place, Joe, because you want to get out of a ballpark before 11 o'clock, you know, well then who's to say with so many people working from home that you have to start a game at 7 p.m. But yeah, I'm open to the idea. You know, it's moving forward. If they're talking about extending this into next season, then I'd have more of a bone to pick with it. But for this particular year, whatever they throw at me, that's fine with me.
Now, one thing about this rule, and I had a caller ask me earlier about this. Now, what they're going to do with this rule is the person who makes the last out of the last inning will be the runner at second base, right? That's what I understand.
Yeah, now, and there'll be an error on the board.
Right. Now, but what here's what I need to clear up. If you want to take that guy out and have like a pitch runner for that guy to start the inning, are you allowed to do that?
I would assume you're allowed to do that, but then let's say the game extends into another inning, that pinch runner is going to have to take the place of
right.
that guy that made
no,
the
all right.
last
okay. Well, that's what I assume, too. We should never assume, but yeah, I would think that's the way it's going to play out, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, the manager's part of this 60-game season is intriguing to me. The way that managers are going to micromanage each and every game, because every game, you know, really counts for three in a
oh,
usual
of course.
Season.
Right.
You know,
right, exactly.
I am intrigued to see, you know, what managers make what kind of moves. You know, they're going to have to be more aggressive. In the beginning, they'll have more guys on the bench. But, you know, as you move on into the month of September, you'll be at that 26-man, you know, level. It starts at, what, 30? It goes down and then down to 26 by the end of the so-called regular season. So how does a manager, you know, how aggressive is he when he's got 30 guys there? How aggressive is he when he's got 28 guys there? And how aggressive is he going to be when he's got 26 guys in games that are going to be quote-unquote pennant race games in late September? I'm really intrigued about how managers, more than players, how managers are going to deal with these 60 games.
Talking to Ricky Ricardo, of course, talking baseball with him. You know, we had John Smoltz on earlier this week.
I heard it.
You heard what he said. I mean, how about the four-man rotation? What do you think about that? Because he basically said, look, the starting pitchers are not going to be throwing, a big year will be, 75 innings maybe for a starting pitcher this year? Could you see a four-man rotation or something like that?
I could, as a matter of fact, because, like I said, this is such a sprint, and I think pitch counts are going to be less than 100. All right, because you're not going to let your starters go 100 pitches. I think these are going to be fortified bullpen games. So with less of a pitch count, in every outing, then I can see where teams, especially that aren't that deep into their rotation, you know, may think, look, let's just roll the dice and go with four guys that we think we can count on and fortify that with the bull, back it up with a bullpen. But I can see a lot of managers that would decide that a four-man rotation in this kind of a situation might be advantageous. I agree with him.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And he also said that he'd load the bases with nobody out to start the 10th inning. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that, I heard. I don't
that's
know if
crazy.
I go that far. You know, a man in scoring position. You know, what interests me is, all right, here's the strategy. We get to the 10th inning.
Right,
let's say it's
right.
a 3-3 ball game.
Right. Okay.
And who made the last out? It's Yankees and Orioles, and Gary Sanchez made the last out, so he's the guy you put on second base. Now, all of a sudden, the American League teams, especially, and even in the National League with the DH, you know, is the strategy, Joe, going to be bunting that guy over
yeah.
to third base?
Right. Right. Right.
You know, to bring him in with a sac fly to get a run, or are you going to be playing for a bigger inning because maybe that one run? Which is that guy on
is it going to be enough
on second base? It's not, it might not
right.
be enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's crazy. I mean, it really. Yeah. The other thing I look at too with a 60-game season, I think it really levels the playing field. I mean, I think it really does. And what happens? And I'm sure the testing is going to be off the charts. But what happens if a team has three or four guys test positive and they got they can't play for 2 weeks and they're key guys? I mean, it's going to – I really think the playing field is going to be much more level than normally.
What I'll be interested in seeing is if, let's say, take, for example, the Marlins stay healthy, but the Mets, Braves, and Nationals and Phillies all have a couple of guys
right.
that get sick and come out. In a 60-game sprint, the team that stays the healthiest and the manager that rolls the dice and gets the luckiest, that might be the team that comes out at least, maybe not winning a division, but at least right. one of the five playoff teams. There's going to be so many different elements to who gets into the postseason here that any team, number one, if they stay healthy, and number two, if the manager's moves in such a compact season all turn out right as compared to some other manager who might just have some bad luck and the moves backfire on him. A manager can make up for it over 162 games. He can't make up for it in 60 games. So I'm really intrigued about all the ancillary things that are going to be outside of the actual performance of the players that will affect each and every game in the standings.
Yeah. Again, talking to Ricky Ricardo. Yeah, you said something, though, about how this was kind of forced on. Nobody came to really any agreement here. And you got to be, you really got to be concerned down the road with baseball with this, the possibility of a work stoppage after next year, Ricky. I mean, it really, it's looming. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Not only that, but Joe, if they don't get this virus under control,
right.
I mean really under control,
right.
Is the 2021 season anything certain?
Yeah.
You know,
look, I don't think anything's certain.
We usually report to spring training, Joe, as you know, right around Valentine's Day, because you know it's earlier and earlier every year, although they've already, you know, canceled the World Baseball Classic, which would have happened next season. But if everything is quote unquote normal next year and guys report to Florida in mid-February, you know, will we have people at the exhibition games? Will we be at that stage yet where fans can come back? Who knows? I mean, the 2022 season is in big time jeopardy because of the labor situation.
Right.
The 2021 season isn't anything that's written in stone either.
Look,
if they couldn't get their act together for these 60 games, if there's any bit of a delay next year, we could be right back at the table with this back and forth for the 21 season, and then forget about the 22 season and beyond. That might, you know, they may have to change the guys that do the negotiating.
Yeah, no, it's really unbelievable. I mean, it's so unprecedented. It's incredible. Thank God they're playing golf. I'm actually watching right now. I'm watching the Travelers right now.
Yeah.
By the way, Phil is red hot. Phil is 10 under par. Phil's making a run.
And they had another guy who played well yesterday that tested positive. And then his partner,
backed out
too.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We're starting to see the virus even penetrate the golf, week after week.
Look, until, here's the bottom line I look at it, Ricky, until they have a virus, until there's a vaccine, people are, it's going to be a shaky thing. I mean, right or wrong.
And a vaccine that works.
Let's say you and I
on New Year's Day go get vaccinated. I mean, how do we know? How long does it take before we know, hey, the vaccine worked?
Right.
Is it March? Is it April? Is it June? Who knows? I mean, how long, if we get vaccinated, and maybe I'm immune for a month, maybe Joe's immune for 2 months, maybe Tommy Lugauer is immune from the same vaccine for 6 months.
Right.
We don't know. This is just, it's something so unprecedented that, look, I've decided to live 24 hours at a time.
That's all you could do. That's all you could do. That's why I'm so concerned that I don't know if it's going to happen, man. I just think there's too many things involved. And the worst thing that could happen, I mean, to me, this is the worst thing that could happen. I don't know how you feel, Rick. If they start the season and then they had to stop it, if that happened, for whatever reason, if there's major outbreaks on teams, whatever the case may be, you know, a whole locker room gets, you know how it is when there's like an outbreak of the flu in a baseball team, you know? I mean, if this, now they're not going to stop it for if it wasn't the normal flu, but for this they would. You know that.
If there's one team that can't play,
then the
entire schedule gets disrupted.
It's over. If there's one team that can't play, it's over. As far as
I'm concerned. Yeah, it's over.
You can't just knock that team out and say, okay, if whatever the schedule says when you play that team, you automatically get a win. You can't do that. If one team gets it where they can't play, it's over. And that, to me, is the biggest concern I have here for all of this.
Yeah.
It really is.
And that's the concern I have with the National Football League.
Yep.
Let's face it. These guys are, and I know they're talking about these helmets with the face covers and the whole thing.
Right.
Come on. I can't. And the way Goodell is saying, look, we're going to start training camp on time.
Right.
And move forward as per the schedule. I feel bad for the people here in Tampa, as we've discussed before.
Super Bowl.
That town had two huge events scheduled for 2020.
And they got Tom Brady. Let's not forget that for the Bucks. And they got Tom Brady. Right.
The calendar keeps moving, even with the virus. But they lost the WrestleMania, which was 5 days and millions of dollars.
Yep. And they got the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, who knows? We don't even know now. With the resurgence here in this state, they're going to have to, go back to ground zero as far as the reopening in the state of Florida. Will they be ready to have a full stadium for the Super Bowl in February of 2021? It's all an unknown.
Yeah. No, it's crazy, man. It really is. Never seen anything like this, and hopefully we will never see anything like this again, Ricky.
No, hopefully not. You're absolutely right there.
It's really been and how about that? And I said this to start the show today. How about the fact that with everything that was shut down and all, you know, everything that's happened, the time has flown by. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, here we are. It's June 26th already. We're almost at the 4th of July. Where is this time gone? You know?
Yeah, April seemed like it took all year to me. You know, those first 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
When we were all in lockdown.
But you really couldn't do anything at all, you know.
First 3-4 weeks, I was having anxiety attacks. I was taking walks in the middle of the night just to go out to get a breath of fresh air. Right. I got chased by a raccoon back into my house.
I was walking every day. At that point, before you could play golf, I was walking every day. Now, thank God you could play golf, which is thank God for that. You know.
So then they opened up the golf, and the gyms have been open here. I've been, you know, I've never been a gym rat. I tell you what, I joined. I've been going 5 times a week, and people look at me like, "Hey, are you again?" Yeah, you got to do something to occupy your mind. And I have found that, you know, going to the gym has been really therapeutic. And you know, the golf during the morning, the gym in the afternoon, have dinner and start to, you know, get ready for the next day. It's basically that's been the life of a broadcaster. Waiting, you know, I'm doing, you know, shifts, popping on a whole bunch of shows, and my shifts on our sister station in Philadelphia, doing that a few times a week. But yeah, you're right that once we got into the month of May, now time is starting to move really, really quick. But that I tell you what, that month of April when they first locked us down, I felt like I was in prison.
Yeah, no, believe me, I understand. Ricky, it's great talking to you. Doing well? Your family's well? You feeling good? You doing good?
Thank God everybody's fine. I had another test done just the other day just to make sure. Although, because they say everybody around here is asymptomatic. Well, I don't have any symptoms, but let me check. And thank God the results came back this morning and everything was negative. I'm more worried. I'm flying. I got some things to tend to in New Jersey and Pennsylvania on Monday and Tuesday. And they're telling me now that when I land at Newark on Sunday, I'm going to have to quarantine myself. I got to tell them, I know Mark Chernoff. Please, just let
me. Well, you know what's happened? It's kind of like a reverse from what happened earlier. Remember when if you were flying from the New York metropolitan area to Florida, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks. Now it's just the opposite.
Yeah, so I'll have to figure something out between now and Sunday so I don't, you know, because I've got places to go, things to do on both Monday and Tuesday of next week. But we'll work. We'll get it worked out.
Rick, it's always a pleasure, man. God bless you. Great talking to you. Be healthy. Be well. And hopefully you'll be calling Yankee games, starting July 23rd, 24th, whatever it is.
I hope so. I would assume that the Yankees will be on that Thursday doubleheader that I've heard about. And, you'll probably have Red Sox, Yankees. I'm assuming Red Sox, Yankees, maybe Astros and Dodgers on that Thursday. And then tomorrow morning, I don't know about you, but I'm teeing off at 8:45. Yeah. Hopefully I can beat this 94 I shot today.
Yeah, I'm playing tomorrow, so I don't know what time tomorrow, but I will definitely be out there tomorrow. Keep hitting them straight, Rick. All the
way. Stay safe, my friend.
All right, man. The great Ricky Mercado.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.